Ladies and gentlemen, on this week's Star Wars Report podcast, we've got a really cool giveaway, the canceled Underworld series news, Star Wars Celebration Europe, and an interview with Jesse Harlan right now. Oh, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Star Wars Report podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in this week. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Please delete as appropriate. It is a podcast, after all. We're super excited about this week's show. Super excited. Couldn't be happier to have you joining us for this episode 229. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. Barely surviving, guys. Not gonna lie. Even my voice cracked while I said that. I was like, barely surviving. I've got a little bit of a summer sickness here, but I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And also here for you is the executive producer of the program here, and he's going to be joining us for the program for the whole show this week. It's Mr. Bruce Gibson. How's it going, Bruce?
I'm doing very well. And just for today's show, I went and got a haircut this morning. Oh, so well, I'm looking really good for this.
Yes, exactly. Well said, sir. Yeah. And the world thanks you. The world does thank you. Yeah. Like I say, we've got an absolutely jam-packed show this week. We've also got, Celebration Europe's really coming to a head here. We're getting in less than 2 weeks to go, guys. We've got news on the Star Wars Report official meetup. We're going to give you all the details on the time, the location. It's all set, finally. So we're going to give you all of that information, as well as, of course, a lot of the stuff we're going to be doing for Celebration. And a bunch of news has hit the circuit, and we're going to get to all of that. But I actually want to start off today's program with a very special guest that we're privileged here to have this week on the Star Wars Report, and that is composer extraordinaire. You kind, ladies and gentlemen, if you are like me, and you've played The Force Unleashed a million times, you know that opening screen music. And I'm now mad at myself that I didn't put it in the notes to actually play here. But you know the dun 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 dun. There we go. It's Jesse Harlan, everybody. Jesse, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much. I did not get a haircut for this, so my apologies.
No, well, we forgive you. We always have like the first time guest pass, so you don't always have to. But Jesse, thanks so much for coming on the Star Wars Report. We're super excited to have you, man.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now you have such an extensive resume in the world of Star Wars and in the world of composing and video game music in general. But before we get into all of that, just tell us a little bit about yourself as a Star Wars fan. What's your background with the franchise?
Oh, man. My mom likes to tell the story about how she saw the trailer for Episode 4 back in the 70s and decided that is something that my unborn child needs to go and listen to. So she went as a pregnant mom to Star Wars and let me listen to it in the theater. That's my beginning with Star Wars.
Wow. So how did the music sound in the womb?
A little like that, I think.
That is hilarious. Yeah, that's crazy. It's the first thing I was thinking of is it that like the really crappy Harrison Ford narrated trailer in space Star Wars. That's the funniest thing ever if you guys haven't seen it. But that's great. But like of course but let's get into it. Like Star Wars fans, if you've ever played Republic Commando, you're familiar with his music. If you've ever played the episode, you edited music for the Revenge of the Sith video game. You worked on Star Wars Battlefront 2, Lego Star Wars 2, of course, The Force Unleashed.
Yeah, Lego Clone Wars. Boy, a lot of things. All of the the Star Wars Wii games that came out, Clone Wars games, a bunch of Game Boy things, and a lot of things for a lot of years.
And not to forget, probably the most important, was an entire album's worth of songs, evidently, that you worked with David Collins on Monkey Island.
That's right. Yeah, redid the music for The Secret of Monkey Island 1 Special Edition, and also then oversaw the redoing of the music for Monkey Island Special Edition, Monkey Island 2 LeChuck's Revenge.
Nice.
Special Edition. Yeah.
So that's a little bit about your Star Wars background, but tell me about your music background. How did you get into the world of composing?
Yeah, well, I was a musician in my teens and played keyboard and sang and was in a bunch of bands. And just kind of got into composing, although, you know, everything I wrote back then was terrible, but got into that and decided that that's what I wanted to study when I went to college. So was studying composition and started studying film composition, and I had this big epiphany one day where this has got to be 1996, I think. I was studying film scoring. I'd come home, I'd do all my film scoring homework assignments, and then when I finally had free time, I would play games. And one day I just realized, wait a minute, somebody's making music for these things, so why not me? So I started asking everybody that I ran across, every teacher, every guest lecturer, every alumni I could get my hands on, you know, do you know anything about making music for video games? And nobody had any idea. You know, being 1996, I think there'd been, you know, live recorded instruments and video game soundtracks for like 2 years, maybe. I mean, it was super new to the whole industry, and nobody knew anything about it. But that didn't stop me, so I just kept asking and asking questions, and I just became that guy who wanted to do games, as far as everybody was concerned at school. And in a complete stroke of luck, one day a development company called my composition teacher and said, "Hey, hi, we're a local game development studio. We're doing a game for the Sony PlayStation. We did a techno score for the game. They hate it. They've thrown the whole thing out, and we were wondering if you had any students who would be able to write an orchestral score for the game."
Aha.
Aha. And they said, "Wait, yes, we do." And they put me in touch, and me and one other guy, we co-composed the score, and that was it. My foot was in the door, and I was off and running.
Did you have any background with orchestral scoring, like actual practice, or you're like, "All right, now's the time. Now's the time to figure it out."
I'd been studying orchestration, and I'd been even then it was still synth based, sample based. It wasn't. I didn't get an actual orchestra. Probably wasn't able to record with the live orchestra for a couple of years after that. But you know, I had been studying orchestration and like I said, studying film scoring. So the whole process was, you know, the thinking was, understand film scoring, understand how to read a scene, understand orchestration, understand how to augment the emotion of a scene, but then take all that knowledge and apply it to game scoring instead of film scoring. Because the thing that made me just crazy excited was the idea of interactivity, and yeah. I'm still nuts about it, and it's a massively interesting topic to me.
So at this point, is John Williams already sort of a part of your lexicon as far as
for sure? I mean, I that story I told about my mom is just the beginning of it. I've been a Star Wars fan my entire life. Apparently a solid year where I made my mom call me Luke. I had Star Wars Halloween costumes growing up. I had Star Wars toys. I read Star Wars books. I had the when I was little, I had the Star Wars storybooks where you had, you know, read along with the and when you hear R2-D2 make a noise like this, you know, to turn the page, those things on.
Oh, yeah.
78 RPM little vinyls. So I had those. I studied the score and just absorbed it. I had, I know I had both A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back on vinyl, and I would just listen to them all the time, probably much to the annoyance of the rest of my family. But I don't think I had Return of the Jedi. But anyway, yeah, I'm super familiar with Star. But certainly by the time I was in college and studying all this stuff, like the releases of the soundtracks were like frequent listening music while I was sitting there working on homework.
Oh, nice.
And stuff.
And see that. So what? Where does Jesse go from lucking into and jumping into the deep end of composing for a full like orchestral score for a video game? But where do you first land your first Star Wars gig? And what was your first Star Wars gig?
My first Star Wars gig was working on staff at LucasArts.
Okay.
And so I guess my first Star Wars gig was Republic Commando. So how did I get connected with LucasArts? So every year in the games industry, there is a industry convention convention called the Game Developer Convention, GDC.
Ah, yes, and, okay.
Yeah, and they have a job fair there. I don't know if they still do. They used to. Anyway, back in, when was this? 2000 was the first time I went. And I knew nothing at that point about the games industry. And I went and just hit the jobs fair and hit every booth and asked every single person, are you guys a publisher? Do you hire composers? Do you know, make your own music? LucasArts was one of the few that I actually knew the company. So I started talking to them, and it turned out, in again, another stroke of luck, they had a position open for a composer. What I didn't know was that at the time, they were looking to hire somebody because the original LucasArts guard of Mike Land, Clint Bajakian, and Peter McConnell, they had all gone freelance. And so they didn't have any composers on staff now. That's not true. They had Dave Levison. But they were looking to get more people on staff. So I started chatting with them, and they were really interested, and they I interviewed, and it got down to where they flew me up, and I met with the whole team, and long story short, I didn't get the gig, but they told me to keep in touch with them. So a year later, I went to GDC again and looked them up, and I said, hey guys, just wanted to, you know, you said stay in touch. I thought I'd come tell you what I've been up to. I actually went to USC and went through their film scoring program again with a whole eye towards game scoring. And if you're looking for anybody still, I'd love to chat. They had hired Mark Grisky at that point, and they were really happy to talk with me. And about 8 months later, I got an email where they just said, hey, we're looking for another new composer to come on board. Would you like to chat? And it was all very fast after that. The interview process all went well, and I started working there probably, I don't know, 4 months later.
That's awesome. Yeah, and then and there you are. You're in the world of composing music for Star Wars. That's got to be crazy.
Yeah, Mark at the time, Mark was scoring Knights of the Old Republic 2, and this crazy new project was getting off the ground called Republic Commando. It wasn't even called that. At the time, it was just called 1138. That was its code name inside the company. So they came to me and they said, David Collins, it was going to be the first – game that he led as an audio lead, and then I was gonna be the composer on it.
Nice.
And it was gonna be this crazy, bizarre, the non-Star Wars Star Wars game is what the team kept saying. The dark and gritty side of Troopers that with a real dark tone to it, and so it was going to need its own signature sound.
Oh, absolutely, which is why we hear something along the lines of, it's a very almost Howard Shore-esque theme. I don't mind saying. And you have, of course, the chants.
Yes.
So, and as somebody who's played Republic Commando like 3 times, tell me about the process for actually coming up with that theme. Was there a lot of workshopping, or did that come pretty fast? Because I love it, but it's very different from something that you would think of, again, like when you think of Star Wars.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, David, as the audio lead on the project, he'd put together this document that called out a bunch of different kinds of influences that the score needed to have, and it was including things like, if I remember correctly, Event Horizon and Alien, and very different directions. We wanted to make sure that it wasn't a big, sweeping, romantic space opera. And I just really sort of got into this idea of brotherhood and the honor of this military clone army. And that led me to a number of things like old Soviet anthems, and
yes.
I studied a whole bunch of military anthems across the world, and listened to, you know, I found it fascinating whenever I would find a military anthem that was in a minor key, because minor is usually, you know, negative and sad, and yet here this was a minor key anthem, celebratory, you know. So I got really interested in that sort of thought, and I've told this story before, but I also had my kid sister's 13 years younger than me, and she was like, I forget how old at the time. She was a little kid at the time I was working on this, and I wanted to put an Easter egg in the score that she could point to and say to her friends, look, there's my name in the score. But I knew she had, one, no ability to play a first-person shooter, and two, no patience. So her name is Cody, and so I had the choir sing that as the very first thing that you hear at the top of the top of the queue, so I could just fire the thing up and she could just instantly go, look, there's my name.
Nice. That is awesome. Yeah. And that I like it shows a level of versatility, but you also have a remarkable understanding of Williams music. And like I said, I mentioned this in the pre-show, but for the folks on the podcast, I totally just kind of like fired off a quick email to David Collins. I was like, hey, guess who I'm talking to? And David doesn't mince words. Like, you know every cue of John Williams,
yeah,
by heart,
yeah,
pretty much. Every aspect. Like, what goes into that? If you're synthesizing a score, especially as you started to work later on video games like Lego Star Wars or something like the Star Wars Kinect game, if you're really trying to infuse the John Williams music itself, like, I listen to the soundtracks all the time. I don't know that I could memorize every cue like that.
Well, it's, you know, it's, I would say it's an occupational, necessity, but I think I knew them probably most of the way anyway before I started working there. Part of it is just when that's your job, you get to know it really well.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, in terms of, well, I guess there's two questions. There's like, you know, what does it take to sit down and start creating something in that same vein versus,
let's explore that avenue. Because, like, specifically, what is it like to write in the style of John Williams? Because, especially, like, of course, I don't know if you saw the incredible AFI tribute that they gave to the man. But he has such a unique process. In fact, we talked to Gordy Hab a couple weeks back, talking about the Force Awakens score, and he has such a different process than most composers. So, what is it like to kind of
Him? Gordy and I have worked together a lot, and Gordy is a very old school kind of composer in that he still works pencil and paper. And
is that like a hipstery thing with composers? If you do that, is that like
I don't know if it's hipstery. It's certainly impressive.
I can't imagine, like, honestly, I kind of wonder if it's almost like someone, the difference between if you journal, for people who journaling by hand versus journaling onto Evernote or something like that. It's interesting that, because it's such, music has to be such a personal process. I'm sure it's got to be different for everybody.
Yeah, it is. I work strictly in my computer. There's different ways to work. There are sort of scoring notation programs like Sibelius or Finale, and some people work just within those. Or there's digital audio workstations like Logic and Reaper, and some people work just in those. Mark Grisky, myself, Will Roger, we all work in the digital audio workstation sort of sphere. And then I know Gordy works in the Finale and pencil and paper sphere. Will Roger, he also will write just pencil and paper in like a notebook he has. He'll write sketches in that. And then translate that into his mock-ups. But for me, Star Wars music lives and dies by the strength of its melodies, and that's what sets it apart so much.
So what does that mean? Give us an example of what you mean by a melody, because it's easy to think of just like, oh, like Luke's theme and Luke, but like I feel like there's more to it than that.
Yeah, well, it really is. It's not just melody. It's catchy melodies, singable melodies, hummable melodies, what you would consider earworms, things that get stuck in your head and burrow their way in there and make it so that when you are not watching the film or playing the game and you're just out walking the dog, all of a sudden that melody creeps back into your memory and starts playing the whole soundtrack. That is kind of what Star Wars is all about. It's what makes it so that you can listen to the soundtrack and know what's happening story-wise because of the interplay of the melodies that particularly relate to individual characters. And, you know, you can hear Luke's theme, and then suddenly the Imperial March will come in, and then that'll give way to Yoda's theme, and it tells a story just through how those melodies are treated, whether they sound sad, whether they sound exuberant, and it is storytelling through melody. And it's what John Williams does just so unbelievably masterfully. He just has this way of, it's a combination of the intervals that he picks for his melodies. So you'll get, nasty minor sounding, half steps and minor thirds and whatnot for something like the Emperor's theme, versus, not to jump a little away from Star Wars for a second, but to something like his Superman theme, big, broad, open fourths and fifths, That's yes. Mm-hmm. So heroic. And it's just playing with the fundamentals of music theory in these very basic ways. But it also then, so there's the notes themselves, but then there's also how that's treated in terms of the orchestration. So Superman, big, bold brass, Emperor's theme, this dirge of male choir, really low.
Yeah.
Grainy sound, you know. So, so the two are inextricably linked, I think. And so when you're doing Star Wars music, it's not just what is the melody that I'm writing? What is this theme? And how am I going to treat that theme in terms of the notes? How am I going to treat the theme in terms of the instrument that's playing it? Is the second part of it that's really, really important.
That's so true. One might even think, do, 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 do. You have, even in yep. Ray's theme most recently, it has that sort of, catchy intervals. And yep. to be fair, like, even though Force Awakens, in comparison to some of the prequel scores that are the other more recent John Williams work, is a little bit more understated at times, there is one glaring exception, and that's Ray's theme. And that yeah. is very, very much along those lines. Very catchy and hummable. Yeah, that's so yeah. true.
I thought the same thing of the Kylo Ren's motif.
That's true.
That, you know, you knew Kylo Ren was coming. And that was... That was, again, it was great because, you know, there's that shot of when his transport ship is landing outside of...
the Jakku village.
Yeah, and you know it. You know, once you've seen the film once, then you know anytime you hear that theme, oh, here comes Kylo Ren. So, you know, so that's... True. That's what we try and do when we're working on Star Wars music is emulate that same approach.
That's so true. That's so true. Wow. That, dude, like our time has passed insanely fast. In fact, Jesse, we've got to get you back on, man, because in the world of Star Wars, there's constantly new material coming out. Right. We didn't even get to touch on like the older public recently, and like there's all kinds of stuff we got to talk about. So I'll tell you what, sir, we'd love to have you back on in the near future, especially. And again, like I have such mad respect for a lot of you guys that at LucasArts that did so much great scoring, and it's so great to actually talk to you. So in the future, as we're discussing, especially Star Wars music, since there's constantly more Star Wars music coming out, it's always fun to nerd out about. So hopefully you can come back on the show very soon.
I'd love to.
Absolutely awesome. So, Jesse, where can folks find you online? And are there any projects or social media accounts, anything that you'd like the good listeners of the Star Wars Report to go check out?
Yeah, sure. I'm at Dunderpate Music, Dunderpate, music.com, and on Twitter and on Facebook. Upcoming projects. I just finished back in March. I just finished doing Mafia 3 for 2K with another composer, Jim Bonney. Totally different sound from Star Wars, but we did a lot of really cool stuff, and that'll be coming out in October, so I'm looking forward to that. And I continue to work with BioWare and EA on... the older public, and have been for 8 years now, I think.
Wow, that's crazy.
So yeah, there's, you know, they actually just BioWare just put the Republic Commando music into the older public.
No way.
Yeah, for their most recent chapter 14, I think, of Knights of the Fallen Empire, which had a big Mandalorian aspect to it. So they leaned on that. So that was a lot of fun to get to watch people react online to hearing that music in the game again. That was fun.
That's awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we will put all the links mentioned into the show notes for episode 229 of the Star Wars Report podcast. And again, if you're listening to this podcast right now, make sure you follow Jesse on Twitter. It's at Ugu, Which is the most fun Twitter name ever. It's at OOGEW. So that's what you can
It's a long-running inside joke between my friend and I who decided that Ugu was an extremely difficult palindrome that we just couldn't figure out. So I would send him emails with like, what about O-O-G-H-O-O? And he's like, no, that still doesn't work. And O-O-G-E-W was another one that we, and I, for some reason, that just stuck.
And it stuck. There we go.
I just figured that when you were in the womb and you were born, your first word was Ugu. And it just stuck.
Yeah.
Bruce, Oh, man. All right, Jesse, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll be in touch.
Sounds great. Thank you, guys. Thanks
for having me. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jesse.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Star Wars Report podcast. Man, Jesse was the man. And by the way, this is his score. It transitions from the Phantom Menace so well to the Republic Commando theme. Check it out. Yeah. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. All right.
I don't know if I want you to stop. I'm going to keep.
I know exactly. Jesse was the man. And we, dude, like those guys, the fan community. Like, there's something about Star Wars fan media that's very ubiquitous now, but there's a missing link on perspective on the scores of Star Wars that needs to be heard from these guys who are actually have been in on the ground level of really understanding this stuff for years. And it's the score that makes Star Wars so great, honestly. So seriously, thanks so much for coming on, Jesse. And I feel like something, we need something. Bruce, I feel like we're forgetting something.
I don't know. Do you need a drink?
I actually kind of do need a drink. Let's be honest.
I mean, you've been sick, and I mean, you know, something healthy.
There's that, but then there's also, oh yeah. I think there's cause for celebration. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take this segment of the Star Wars Report podcast to say and announce that we have hit our next Patreon goal! We hit our Patreon goal! Yeah, that's right. No, seriously, like a huge thanks to Jeremy and Neil, actually current patrons who upped their pledge, and they took us over the $300 level, which means we are now officially launching into our monthly bonus podcast episode. Same for like the patron feed that we set up. This ain't bonus content for the patrons. This is for everybody. We're getting into brand new content here on the main feed. Okay, all right. So seriously, guys, thanks so much. It was such an honor that you guys thought to up your pledges. Particularly Jeremy, it was super generous of you, and I can't wait because this carries us into a brand new age of Star Wars Report podcasting. I'm so excited. So seriously, guys, thank you so much. If you want to support the Star Wars Report podcast and hop on Patreon as well and jump on the train, you can do so. It is patreon.com/StarWarsReport. This is where the summer sickness is coming in, Bruce. That's patreon.com/StarWarsReport. There we go.
There you go.
I'm not going to jinx it. You guys know where to go. We're still putting out our weekly Star Wars Rebels commentary in the exclusive patron RSS feed. I've set up a website that all patrons have access to, so that's where we release our bonus content. But like I say, now that we've hit our next level, we're doing a monthly, it's going to be a call-in show or commentary. We're going to do a feature-length fifth episode each month, and I'm so excited that we are going to be doing that. We have to now figure out what we're going to do.
Because I was going to ask, so what exactly are we going to do? But you just said, I mean, so we can have people call in. That's pretty cool.
I like the idea of doing a call-in show. I also like the idea of doing film commentaries and do them more often because we usually just do one a year. We might bring in some of that. We might do like a special long form interview so that we have more time to talk to some of these guys. So there's all kinds of opportunities, probably for the month of July upcoming in the coming weeks as we get ready for Celebration. I'll probably do a bonus one that's themed around Star Wars Celebration. Speaking of Star Wars Celebration, I feel like we just had Celebration music. I should have had more queued up. But, yeah, we've got so much more to talk about here on the show. I've got to give my voice a brief break. So we're going to take a moment timeout from the program. And I want to highlight something that the good folks from our good friends over at Jedi News sent this way. They've got a pretty cool thing. So we're going to play this, and we'll be right back. Ujabba.
The Jedi News app is available now for iOS and Android. Ujabba. From the Apple, Google Play, and Amazon app stores. Ujabba. All the latest breaking news, podcasts, videos, and social media posts from Team Jedi News. Ujabba. All in the palm of your hand. The Jedi News Network. Ujabba. Gathering news from across the galaxy.
Okie doke. All right, now it's time to really start digging into some Star Wars Celebration Anaheim news, because ladies and gentlemen, it is now less than 2 weeks away from beginning.
It's an Anaheim news.
Well, no! I mean, of course, the music, it's got to be Celebration London. God save the Queen, everybody. We've got the Star Wars Apart meetup. Let me say it. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Celebration London is happening in less than 2 weeks. Wise ones are on the way. And yes, I continue my trend of playing really, really weird remixes of God Save the Queen to intro this segment. Why not?
Why not? We'll be dancing to it the whole time at Celebration.
Oh, this is totally got to be like what we'll play at our Celebration meetup. Yeah. Let's get straight into it. Let's go chronological order. We're going to start off the official Star Wars Report Fangirls Going Rogue panel is happening. You didn't hear it here. There's a possibility Anthony Bresnikan might be there. I'm just saying. You didn't hear it from me. So that's definitely not official, but I'm saying
anything's possible.
Well, and we're like so close out, like, and there are some other super cool special guests that might be showing up as well. So it's going to be the Star Wars Report Fangirls Going Rogue joint show. Bruce is going to be there. That's really going to get the crowds. So I just wanted to their big announcement is Bruce Gibson is going to you're just going to bring the house down.
I'll be the DJ Elliot of the Star Wars Report.
Yes. DJ Elliot has this really funny like chair bounce that he does when he's DJing. It's really funny if you get used to it. And so, yes, make sure that you are at the One Force stage Saturday the 16th local time. This is from 12 p.m. to 1:15 p.m., barring any, there might be a slight change by like 15 minutes. We're getting clarification on a scheduling issue. I think I was seeing like a 12:15 to 1:30 at one point. But I'm
The website says 12:30 to 1:15. The app says 12 to 1:15. So I think we're safe to say at least at the earliest 12.
Wait, they have the app. The app is ready to go. I need to download the app now.
Yes, the app is out there. Definitely.
Darn it, I'm so behind.
If you had registered. If you had an account at the last Celebration, it works on this app, too.
Oh, okay, cool. There you go. Sounds good. Well, so make sure that you add the panel in the app. Make sure you download the Celebration app, and Make sure you add that to your schedule. Again, Saturday the 16th, 12 to 1:15, the 1-4 stage. It's the Star Wars Report and Fangirls Going Rogue. It's going to be a live reaction to Rogue One and all the news that we get from Friday. And it will be Bethany will literally have been in the city for like 8 hours at that point. So so you can go harass her with after enormous travel plans. But no, Bethany will be there. I'll be there. Of course, Trisha Barr from Fangirls Going Rogue and some special guests. And we've got a potential for we're going to be doing a character discussion as well after the Force One, the Rogue One. I'm combining movies now, Bruce. after we get all of the amazing news from that. But that's not it. That's not it, folks. Step
There's more?
Right up. Act now when you can go to the Star Wars Report Celebration Europe official meetup. Excelsior. Yeah, exactly. I'm so excited. We finally nailed down. We had it pretty much nailed down last week, but we couldn't announce the location. Now we can. Make sure that you go to the Star Wars Report Celebration Europe meetup. This is also going to be at the 1-4 stage, but we're all just going to be mingling, and we're going to have the whole area to ourselves Saturday at 6:30 local time. So that's 6:30 to 7:30 local time. I had some trouble with the schedule on the event page because I can only set events in the time zone I'm currently in. So I had to change it to 2:30 p.m. Eastern. But of course, if you're in London, that's going to be 6:30 to 7:30. The show floor closes at 7, but I don't think anyone's going to bother us. So we're going to be hanging out beyond 7 because we're not going to be bothering anybody. So
yeah, that time change confused me because I thought it was at 6:30. Then I saw the Facebook page and said 1:30. But yeah, it makes sense. It changes based on your time zone.
Exactly. So make sure that you are there. It's the 1-4 stage. We've already set up a Facebook event. You can go to starwarsreport.com/meetup. And Bruce, if you'd make a note in the show notes there, I'll set that up. So by the time this podcast is live, if you go to starwarsreport.com/meetup, that's going to direct you straight to the Facebook page and RSVP. RSVP. It's like the RESCPT song, you know, RSVP. Because we want you guys out there. If you are listening to the sound of my voice now and you are going to be at Celebration Anaheim, go. We've got some cool things that we're going to be giving away. We're going to have a fun conversation, and the theme of the meetup is just going to be casual fun and also everybody freaking out about what they just saw at the Rebels panel. So it's going to be great. It's going to be the bomb.
I'm getting so excited right now. I haven't been really that excited. I guess because it hasn't felt real to me yet because we haven't been there yet. But just to think that it's just, I mean, less than two weeks away. And now we're talking about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's coming.
Yes, I know. Here's the thing, man. Like when it hit me that it was real was day before yesterday. I got an email from the good folks at Lucasfilm for press stuff at Celebration that none of it's settled, but we're going to be doing some press stuff and we'll see what works out. But that's when it was like, okay, this is real now. This is a thing. It's happening. And I couldn't be more excited. So again, it's starwarsreport.com/meetup. And in the future, it's going to be easy because we'll just update whenever we do a meetup, which is going to be more and more common. I think we're going to do one at Dragon Con, and we'll probably do one at Celebration in Orlando next year. So all kinds of cool stuff. And not to mention, like, there's a new email out with new info. There are some more Rebels guests, Sam Witwer, Tia Sirkar, and are going to join Dave Filoni for the Rebels panel. And there's a bunch of other there's a bunch of other stuff. Actually, Bruce, tell me about this Ahsoka Untold, the Ahsoka Untold Tales. Do you tell me about this? I'm looking at it now.
So Ashley Eckstein's going to be there. Yay, which I'm excited about. I was hoping she was going to be there. And she's going to be on stage with Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo, and they're going to discuss about Untold Tales of Ahsoka's past and her discovery of the Jedi Order as a young child, and so on and so forth. So I think this is also leading into the new novel that's coming out sometime, I think, this fall.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So I think we're going to get some inside looks into maybe what's going to be in that novel and some of the character developments that they've done behind the scenes that we have not seen on any of the shows yet.
That
So she will be there. And that's on Friday at Celebration. It's I think that's at 11 in the morning on the 15th.
Awesome. Awesome. I cannot wait. And that's what time is that? 11?
11 a.m. till noon. That's one of the first things.
Exactly. Man, I will probably be there. I need to download the app and actually start going over my schedule, which I'll probably do like 3 days before the convention. Let's be honest. This is what always happens with me.
Well, and they're always making changes. Then you're always changing your mind too, because there's always going to be something that overlaps, and you want to do both, and they're all at the same time, and it's like, what are you going to do? So it's just always kind of up in the air.
Well, we got a bunch of news this week, so let's not dilly dally.
We have something to report.
Closer, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. In the news segment this week, I want to talk to you guys about. We teased it last week, but weren't able to get to it. Star Wars Underworld. So, evidently, it was really super cool. Because we have the more time that passes, I think the more people who are comfortable with the project are comfortable talking about it. I think the most tragic moment for me realizing this series will never get made was when I realized that Ronald D. Moore was like the showrunner, or at least one of the writers on it, and that he was working on it. I am such a huge Battlestar Galactica fan, the modern series, that I would have. I'm so sad. It makes me depressed just thinking about it. And there was some new information that came out from Corey Balrog. You shall not make Star Wars Underworld. he's now the director of the God of War game series, and this is back from E3, I believe. He spoke to VentureBeat about the God of War series, and he briefly referenced his experience at LucasArts as the subsidiary, of course, of Lucasfilm. This is according to Screen Rant, by the way. And he said that what he knew stuff about the now defunct project that was, of course, rumored to be called Star Wars Underworld. And here's the quote. We started looking at some examples from the television and movies, mostly television. Television is the great format where people can have a relationship with characters for an extended period of time. And so probably the really small beginnings of this idea, the germination of this when I was working with Lucas for scripts for the canceled live-action TV show, it was the most mind-blowing thing I'd ever experienced. I cared about the Emperor. The Emperor! They made the Emperor a sympathetic figure who was wronged by this bleeping heartless woman. So she's this hardcore gangster, and she's just totally destroyed him as a person. I almost cried while reading this. This, ladies and gentlemen, this is not a joke. And the Emperor, the lightning out of the fingers of the Emperor, that's something magical. The writers who worked on that, the guys from the Shield 24, they were excellent writers. So the Emperor wronged, scorned by a woman. Hell hath no fury. Woman. Hell hath no fury like a Sith Lord scorned.
No, but this is quite interesting because I never thought of the Emperor having a woman, and for her to be one that's, you know, making him almost a tragic character in himself. Women have that effect on men, believe me.
That was a very Donald Trump line. What's the quote from the and now we will secure a safe and secure society. Believe me. I'm just going to suddenly just do a bunch of imperial lines as Donald Trump. The Jedi are all but extinct. Believe me, I'm telling the truth. We're going to build a wall between Alderaan. Okay, all right, I'm sorry. It's the political nerd in me is taking over here. What might have been? I feel like when you read it, like the way he describes it, it sounds terrible. Like, that's my reaction. That sounds terrible. I don't want the Emperor to be a sympathetic character. This is Star Wars, darn it. We have good guys and bad guys. We have red lightsabers and blue, green, and purple, and yellow, and pink lightsabers. Okay? Let's get it together, everybody. We don't have Sith Lords who are sympathetic. But, since the fact that the people who were working on that show were working on it, I think they could have pulled it off.
I think they could have pulled it off.
I feel like, I don't know, if it could almost, by like kind of, and Ron Moore could totally do this, like show a glimpse of humanity, like a part of humanity that would then twist even more evil, so that the fact that there is a potential to maybe somehow be maybe slightly less cruel and insane, but that potential is what makes him even more cruel and insane. Like, that's the kind of thing that would be kind of interesting if you wanted to make a more dynamic villain in the Emperor, because the and Ian McDiarmid does this a lot, but the Emperor, through especially throughout with the background of the prequels, but even if you just look at Return of the Jedi alone, he's a very Shakespearean villain, right? He's very very much just the one that we can all root against. And I like that. That's appropriate for the Star Wars films. But a TV project that lent another dimension to it, never know. Maybe could have pulled it off.
Could have, yeah. But, and you know, he's the most powerful man in the universe, and yet this woman can destroy him. So she's the most powerful person in the universe.
It was Aayla Secura.
It
had to be Aayla Secura. It was...
Oh, I was thinking it was Hillary Clinton.
Okay, all right now. Oh, man.
That's for another podcast.
Oh, goodness. Now, let's... Wait, Sam Jackson... All right, we've got to get to Sam Jackson in a second, but I want to highlight this other story right here. J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy are now LEGO figures. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens is now out. It's hit the streets. I almost bought it, and then I saw the price tag, and I thought, I will not get any time to play it before I travel to Europe, and I certainly won't be playing it in Europe. So I'm just going to wait and hope it goes down in price.
Well, here's the thing. So we did buy it. I haven't played it yet. My kids have been playing it the last few days while I've been at work. And when I drove home and walked into the house, I walk in and the kids are screaming, Dad, look, Kathleen Kennedy. And there they are as Kathleen Kennedy in the Lego Star Wars game.
Oh, so you found this out from your kids, not from social media?
No, I did find out online the day of, and then I walked home because I was going to tell them about it. But as soon as I walked in the door, they had already found both of the characters.
Nice. That's
And she's wearing the same outfit she wore at the opening ceremonies at Celebration in Anaheim last year. The white jacket with the...
No, that's the famous... I wonder if someone at LEGO saw the Dragon Con panel, the Dress Like Kathleen Kennedy Day that they did last year,
mm-hmm.
Which was a thing, by the way, guys. I was there. There was the Star Wars track hosted an official Dress Like Kathleen Kennedy, and they all wore her universe shirts, but with like a fancy white blazer and slacks, and it was hilarious. It was great. It was the best thing ever. So then they did a photo op with Vanessa Marshall. It was
the best thing ever.
And so I bet somebody saw that because she's wearing literally a Her Universe shirt and a white blazer. Is that the case?
That's the case. Yeah, yep. You can see the Her Universe shirt under the blazer in the LEGO.
I'm gonna say that Brandy and the amazing people over at Star Wars at Dragon Con at the Dragon Con track are responsible for this. I'm gonna say it. Because it did make the rounds on social media some. A lot of people thought it was pretty funny.
Well, that's her official uniform now, then.
Ah, excellent, excellent.
And JJ's running around with his hair's kind of spiked up, and he's got an old movie camera over his back, and he's running around.
Oh, please tell me it's like a Super 8 camera. That would be hilarious.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Why wouldn't it be? It has to be. It's fun to see nods like that. I will definitely be purchasing. LEGO Star Wars The Force Awakens, but it will probably be a little bit before I do. I'm saving my pennies for Europe, man. Every last little penny I can.
Another way you could save pennies, though.
Okay.
This is also available as an app on your phone. Oh. And you can get it for like $6.99.
Okay.
I think you play the first three levels and then you have to pay. No, I think it's free and then you pay after or something like that. I don't know, but you can actually cheat a little and play a little bit before you buy the actual game.
Okay. Cool.
I haven't done
now,
that yet.
Now, tell me about this Sam Jackson. I saw this came across my radar, but I actually haven't had a chance to listen to this yet. So tell me all about this.
Well, Sam thinks that Mace Windu is still alive.
Oh? Okay, let's take a listen. This is going to be great.
As in most Star Wars movies, it was George Lucas' idea to kill Mace Windu. He said he killed all these important characters and all these other movies leading up to that, and said the only person left to kill that would mean anything in episode 3 would be me. In my mind, I'm not dead. Jedis can fall incredibly high distances and not die.
Yes, they can. You and me both. I want the Sam Jackson Mace Windu movie. Old,
well, that's what's happening.
Grizzled, like crazy. He's like hanging out at the third level of the Coruscant underworld. He's like
with the Emperor's woman.
He's walking into the bar and the bouncer's like, "Oh, can you all right, so here's the teaser trailer. Are you ready?"
Mm-hmm.
Fade in and you see a dirty trench coat, black boots, and the shot just shows the boots up to the knees as a figure's walking forward down a dark alleyway. There's like there's some Twi'lek ladies of the night hanging out on one corner, a drug dealer on another corner. You've got neon lighting off in the distance, and there's this suit. It's raining, right? It's dirty acid rain, and then there's this the entrance to this dirty dive bar, and there's this giant bouncer. Let's make him look like this super buff Quarren. Why not? And he's just like, "You can't come in here." And that's what Quarren sound like, by the way. And you just see a slow pan up the buttoned trench coat with rain pattering on it as it goes up the camera goes across the chest, neck, and then you see the grayed face with like this gray goatee and an eye patch. And there you see, with this sort of glowing yellow eyes, a sort of twisted, crazy Mace Windu. And he's just, the left eye squints slightly, and then he's like, "This party's over." But instead, you're like, "Oh, well, the purple lightsaber comes out." No. Here's what happens. Force lightning. Smash cut. There's your teaser. Star Wars. Ooh. Crazy Mace, a Star Wars story.
So he's on the dark side then.
Exactly. Is he a Sith? Yes. Like he's like a super bad A Bantha something. I'm trying to find a family friendly.
So he kills like everybody in the cantina with his lightning?
Yeah, because and that's like the thing. It's like the perverse thing. He's gone crazy. He's like this weird dark side bounty hunter who's now embraced the very powers. He like swore never again. It won't happen to me again. So he learned all the powers that destroyed him. Right?
Wow. Yes. And then I can see
where somebody looks. Phil, let me pitch this thing. Come on. Where?
No. Wait. And then he kills everybody in the cantina, and he walks over and he reaches into their pockets, takes their money, and says, "What's in your wallet?"
Fair enough. Fair point. I'll get goodness.
But there's more to him.
Yeah. No. But he's and that's out, and the story
I,
is of course
mean,
his
I mean
redemption.
Samuel is still out there.
Well, and then of course the theme of the movie is him finding redemption through the love of a woman, right? Who brings him back, right?
Right. Ray's mother.
Yeah, do diddle-loo, do diddle-loo, diddle-loo. Ah, see, now this is the problem. I should stop doing this because now there's nothing. Oh, there's almost nothing now about the Han Solo movie. I don't care how many times that people behind the scenes say that, "Oh, it's the best script ever." It's not. It's not as good as what I just said. I'm just inventing my own best Star Wars movie in my head.
That's about as far as it's gonna go.
Oh, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, let's take a second because you know what? It's time to do a giveaway. Goodness, I'm going to survive here. Barely. Man, this summer cough, it's not good. But that's okay because you know what is good? Free Star Wars swag. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't done this in a while, but we've got a really cool giveaway. And let's do it right about now. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm super excited because... I don't want the music too loud there. I'm super excited because we have, courtesy of Swimways, they're a pool company, and they actually just sent us some free swag. They sent us a sample of their summer Star Wars pool toy lineup, and it's a... actually, hang on. I'm opening it up here. Hang on. All right, here we go. It's a noodle, but it's not just any kind of noodle. It's exactly what you'd expect. It's what the several kids were doing literally at the pool that I lifeguard yesterday, is they said, let's play Star Wars. I was like, oh, what's that? And then they all broke out a bunch of noodles and proceeded to just beat each other's head into oblivion with these foams. So you can too with a Star Wars Swimways lightsaber noodle, which is amazing. So here's what you want to do. You want to be listening to this podcast. That's the first thing. And then you want to go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. That takes you straight to the iTunes store. And leave us a rating or review. And then let us know what you think about the show. And then what you want to do is then immediately, as soon as you leave that review, don't delay. You've got to set the timing to where you, the second you send the review, you also shoot an email to StarWarsReport@gmail.com, subject line giveaway, and that's where you will be able to, get your chance to win. And we're gonna randomly select one of those fine folks who do so, and that's a good way to thank you guys for listening, and also thank you for getting the word out about the show via iTunes. So again, that's StarWarsReport.com/iTunes, and especially if you got kids, it's a lot of fun. It's a pretty cool package, and we'll mail it out. Now, unfortunately, this is no international shipping. We can only do local shipping, but I wanted to do that for you guys, and happy reviewing. Good luck.
Well, you're a lifeguard. You should take these toys with you to work.
Oh, I should. Totally should.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. And they have more. If you go to swimways.com, you can find all these Star Wars toys and Disney and Marvel. They got all kinds of stuff, including Finding Dory. So that's pretty
nice.
Cool, too.
Awesome. There we go. We'll have links in the show notes. Whew, that's way too fun. That is way, way, way too much fun. Way too much fun. Wow. I feel like here's what I'm gonna do, Bruce. Is we need to here we go. Boom. There we go. I just did a little bit of shuffling on the fly there, Bruce, because what we gotta do right now, sir?
No, I do not.
Well, let me tell you, we're going to do a little bit of Booba's Bounty.
He's worth a lot to me.
It's time for Booba's Bounty.
As you wish.
That's right, folks. Booba's Bounty, each week we go through something that we've read, watched, experienced, done in the world of Star Wars. And Bruce, you want to kick us off this week?
Sure. Oh, I kind of gave a hint already. We've got the Lego Star Wars Clone Wars game here. And even though I haven't played...
You mean The Force Awakens?
What did I say?
You said Clone Wars.
Oh, man.
It's happened to both of us on the show now, so now we're even.
We have that one too, actually. We have them all. But I can't wait to play The Force Awakens, the Lego version of it. I'm going to do it right after we're done with the show. But seriously, my kids have been playing this like all week long. When I at work,
nice.
I call home, I'm like talking to my wife. I said, so what are the kids doing? And she's like, well, what do you think they're doing? And of course, they're playing Star Wars The Force Awakens. But it looks really cool. I can't wait to get playing that. What about you? Have you got
awesome.
Anything this week?
Actually, this week I rewatched Revenge of the Sith. And I kind of wanted, and this has happened a few times on the program. I actually, excuse me. Wow, I gotta hang on. Let me hit my cough button here. There we go. All right. Yeah. I had to, by cough button, I mean, I had to just pause the recorder there for a second.
But then I got to hear it.
I know, exactly. Yeah. You're welcome, Bruce. I watched Revenge of the Sith this week. My big takeaway, actually, you know what I'm going to do? Here's the fun part, because I totally forgot. I actually have the ability to pull it up on my phone, because one thing I've been doing a lot recently is using Snapchat. Snapchat is my new favorite social media platform because it's so easy to use, unlike my phone right now, which doesn't want to unlock. All right, hang on, guys. We'll be right with you. So yeah, basically what Snapchat is it's this great way to post short video clips and pictures, et cetera, et cetera. But what it means is that I was watching Revenge of the Sith, and I totally did this sort of like Snapchat watch party of Revenge of the Sith, which I thought was hilarious because I had some fun doing a little bit of color commentary for Revenge of the Sith. And let's just take a listen to what that sounded like. Hopefully this will work out. I've plugged my phone into the system here. Here we go. Let's see if it works.
Watching Revenge of the Sith. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yep.
Here it is. Somebody gone bad.
So this is me. Watching.
He's like, my master's not doing so hot. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Okay, wait. It's so cool.
So
yes.
Basically,
yes.
This is what it's like watching Revenge of the Sith with Riley. That's
oh,
there you go.
Yeah.
that's what it sounds like. Exactly.
Well, that could be in a bonus episode. Yeah. Watching Revenge of the Sith with Riley. Oh, yeah.
Because when I'm not focused on intelligent commentary, which is what I'm usually doing if I'm recording a commentary, I'm just like doing voiceover of Newt Gunray being like, hey, everybody. Ooh. When Anakin walks in. That was what I did this week. So we're going to, that almost puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, but it doesn't, because I actually wanted to highlight something kind of cool. This is in the world of Star Wars. Sometimes there you get moments where some of the creative people behind it are just so amazing. And in this case, Daisy Ridley, she's recording with Anne Hathaway and Barbara Streisand for a new project, and they sing At the Ballet, and it's just you get to hear a little sample here. I knew that they weren't hers, but it wasn't. Of course, the classic voice of Barbara Streisand, but later into the piece, you get a little bit from Anne Hathaway, and then...
okay, number 8.
And then you get to hear a little bit of Daisy Ridley. Here we go.
My mother?
Yes, yours.
She lied to me.
She lied to you?
Mother always said I'd be very attractive when I grew up. Different, she said, with a special something and a very, very buzzing of flair. Though I was eight or nine, I hated her.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. That is the incredibly talented Daisy Ridley again, just like frustrating me with how is anybody so beautiful, talented, can sing, can be awesome with a lightsaber. You know what, Bruce? You know, there's one. We may have had like incredible insights on John Williams' work. We may have been super excited about Celebration Europe. We may have had a good time talking about what might have been with the Emperor's unrequited love. Riley may have literally just off the cuff described an entire Star Wars movie that now his heart is set on that, and he's so sad that he'll never see. All these things have happened on the show. But you know what? Probably the best thing that's happened on the show so far, Bruce?
I think it's going to be Daisy.
No. It's the fact that I live in the same time as Daisy Ridley. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We're just blessed to share the same Earth's oxygen. That's what I say. That's what I say. Ladies and gentlemen, that puts the Star Wars Report podcast in the can. This has been episode 229. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. It's been an absolutely jam-packed week. Huge thanks to Mr. Bruce Gibson, our producer, and thanks for jumping on this week, sir, and for all the prep you did for the show, putting together all the stories and the that was amazing audio of Sam Jackson. That didn't even come across my radar, so thanks so much for featuring that. Bruce, where can folks find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at @Admiral_Rex.
Excellent. Do it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
I'll be tweeting from Celebration.
He never returned my phone calls. I'm so angry. Do it. You're not the unrequited love, are you, Bruce? I'm just making sure.
No.
All right, and as always, you can follow us. It's, we're on Twitter. It's @StarWarsReport, Facebook.com/StarWarsReport. And, of course, don't forget the giveaway. Have some summer fun with your own lightsaber noodle. You get, of course, for U.S. Residents only, make sure that you enter the contest and leave us those reviews at StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. And do it anyway. It really helps spread the word about the show. We really need as many of those iTunes reviews as we can. So again, StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. You can follow me on Twitter and Snapchat, as I just mentioned. It's @TheRileyGuy. Username, TheRileyGuy. Nice and easy to remember. You can find the rest of my work at RileyBlanton.com. Again, huge shout out and thank you to Neil and Jeremy for taking us over the top and hitting the next Patreon goal. Jump on board the Patreon train. Get yourself a Star Wars Report t-shirt. Get yourself access to the exclusive Patreon RSS feed where we're putting out weekly bonus content. Right now, our Star Wars Rebels commentaries. You can do all of that at patreon.com/StarWarsReport. And of course, the email, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, StarWarsReport@gmail.com. One last huge shout out and thanks to Jesse Harlan. Coolest dude. Thank you so much, man. We're going to have him back on soon. We got a lot more Star Wars music to talk about. But that puts the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. So long, folks. He's worth a lot to me. It's funny, I have these cues right after each other. Oh, Jabba.
He's no good to me dead.
He's no good to me dead. Did. He has that sort of... there's something... I love his accent. Why did I just blank on Tamara Morrison? Mm. Tamara Morrison is the man. Georgia. Georgia. No peace I find. What's funny is that my cough means that I think my voice is deeper than it normally is.
I was going to say you sound sexy.
Well, thank you, sir. You should have said that in the main show. all right, let me shut off the recorder here. On that note,
goodbye.
We'll see you guys next week.